Just keep our faith in Him in these days. Let's read our verses again, and I'll let you be seated here in just a moment. Second Corinthians chapter number 12. 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. And I tell you what, let's read all these verses again. I'm not going to be too long this morning, I don't believe, but let's read these beginning in verse number 1. It's not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth such an one called up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth how that he was called up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such an one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me, and lest I should be exalted above measure. Through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that he might that it might depart from me. He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. This phrase and several phrases that link to this is our thought. For my strength, Christ says to Paul, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. And here the phrase is again, for when I am weak, then am I strong. One more verse in chapter number 13, and this is apart from what we'll deal with tonight, but verse number 4 said, for though he was crucified through weakness, and speaking of our Savior, Paul said, yet he liveth by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you. We want to continue our thoughts on the subject weakness and strength. Weakness and strength. You can be seated. Heavenly Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, thank you for prayer. Thank you for the privilege of it. Thank you for the opportunity to enter into the house of God today. Thank you, Lord, for a little fellowship, the people of God, the songs of Zion that have been sung, the word of God that's already been taught and exhorted to our hearts, Lord, to grow us. And Lord, now, Lord, we pray you take this text and this passage and the truths you've laid upon our heart and, Lord, teach us something today that, Lord, would make us better Christians, stronger Christians, and, Lord, better equipped to serve you in these days in which we live. And we'll bless you, Lord, for all that you do. Help the people of God today. Draw sinners to yourself. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. We've been studying this text and this topic of weakness and strength as Paul unfolds it here, using his own life in many ways to exemplify what is available, I believe, to all children of God. We understand that even the Apostle Paul and all the apostles and throughout the Word of God, the Holy Spirit commands and encourages the child of God that we are to be strong. We're to be strong in faith, we're to be strong in grace, we're to be strong in the Word of God. We're to stand strong. We are commanded in many ways and in many places, both in Old Testament and New Testament, just simply to be strong. In the Old Testament, God's children on several occasions are commanded to be strong and of good courage. And no doubt that is reiterated in this dispensation of time in which we live in, that God desires His children to be strong. though we know that, we understand the commands, we're striving for that, we understand that we're to be strong is true, and that is something we're striving for, but as we study the Word of God, and in particular the text before us this morning, we understand that the Bible also acknowledges the fact that we are weak. It exposes our weakness. The Apostle Paul is dealing then in this text with both weakness and strength. We are on one hand commanded to be strong, but on another hand we find ourselves so many times in the shoes of the Apostle Paul, and no doubt probably even more so and more often, where he said in chapter 11 in verse number 29, "Who is weak and I am not weak?" And so there is a matter of weakness. We know we're to be strong. We hear the command. We're striving for it. And yet, many days we find ourselves in a state of weakness. This weakness is linked to several things in our spiritual lives. We give you four causes of concern for our weakness, simply being, and the foundation of it all is our fallen nature. And that because we are sons of Adam, we have been born with a weakness. And this is seen in so many texts and in so many ways. We think of what the Lord said even to His disciples. They're saved. They're followers of Christ, students of the doctrines and the commandments and the principles that the Lord has given to them. And yet He deals with them in their weakness in the matter of prayer and spiritual discipline. And Mark 14:38 saying, "The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak." And the matter of weakness in our fallen nature, matter of weakness of our Father's plan. In our text, Paul said, "There was given to me a thorn in the flesh," this source of weakness, this source of pain that reduced him and let him feel exactly how weak that he really is. That was part of his Father's plan, our Father's plan, amen, to make Paul feel his weakness so that we'll see later, amen, he can know the strength that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we see that in many other texts. I've got to hurry, I bogged down again, but amen, our foe's attack is seen in chapter number 12 and in verse number 7. As he spake of the messenger of Satan to buffet me, and just the attacks that we face spiritually as children of God, there is Satan and adversaries and spiritual messengers that try to attack our faith and attack us in the grace of God. And at times those attacks and buffetings cause us to feel our weakness, our frustrating circumstances, chapter 11 and 12, where Paul is going to deal with infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecution and distresses and pains and hurtings and nakedness and cold and hungers and thirstings and all these things that Paul has encountered. They bring him to a place many times just the circumstances he finds himself in, he can't do anything about it. He can't change it. He can't escape it. And it leaves him with this sense of his own weakness in his life. And so these are the concerns of our weakness. Our weakness at times, even as saved children of God, would seem to be so great that we'll never be able to tap in and live the command that we have been given to be strong, that our weakness is greater than our strength. And we understand that, and there's not a person in here today that has been saved any amount of time at all that you've not, amen, thought that somewhere in your spiritual life. But what we learn from the Word of God in this text, and compare it to Hebrews 11:34, in the way those that are in the way of faith, they are said that of all the great things Paul would recollect and remind us that saints of God have done, in Hebrews 11, he says, "Understand this, and it was out of weakness they were made strong." And so when facing circumstances, when dealing with the foe's attacks, Amen. When being led by the Father's plan, when simply faced with their own fallen nature, it was in and out of that weakness that they were able to tap into something that would make them strong. And one of the things we have emphasized from that that phrase in Hebrews 11:34 and out of our text is that we have made the statement, what a strange place to find strength. That in our weakest hour, there we are made strong. And that when we feel the most vulnerable, when we feel the most pain, when we feel like we're at the end of our rope the most, it is then that there is strength to, my friend, make you and I strong. And so this is the message of Paul concerning the experiences he writes about in the close of this letter here in chapter number 12 and in even chapter 11 and 13. I believe the message is all connected here, is that he wants you and I to understand weakness and strength. Weakness and strength, they seem to be opposing forces. They seem to be things that are set at odds one with another. But, hey man, what Paul is teaching, when I am weak, then am I strong. Amen. Out of weakness, they were made strong. My strength, Christ would tell us today, is made perfect in weakness. Weakness and strength. And so we've embarked on a few thoughts here. And I want to get right into where we left off here in just a moment. But we're looking at this. We see the weakness and the cause of the weakness. But notice the grace that supplies our strength. And we've emphasized that if we're ever to go from weakness to strength, if we've ever been able to or are ever going to be able to say, for when I am weak, then am I strong, then Brother Mark, that'll have to be the result of the grace of God supplying something that we cannot talk ourselves into, we cannot muster within ourselves, and that can come from no other way and no other source than the grace of God. Amen. Where do we learn this? We learn this, and all of this is predicated upon verse number 9. As Paul in this time of weakness has called upon the Lord, amen, to help him and take away the weakness, Brother Mo, the response and the reply is simply this: Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee. And so thank God for grace today. Grace that supplies our strength. Amen. When you can't get it anywhere else, when you can't be propped up by anyone or anything, I'm glad the grace of God can supply. Amen. What we are deficient in, He is sufficient to supply to you and I. And so we looked at the prayer in verse number 8, the person in verse number 9. Amen. We looked at the plenty in verse number 9. My grace is sufficient. Amen. It's never going to run out. It's going to be there. Amen. You've never been so weak that the grace of God was not sufficient to, amen, supply the strength that you needed. We looked at the personalizing, that my grace is sufficient for thee. And we looked at the perfecting, amen, where the Lord said, my strength is made perfect in weakness. All of this is the working of the grace of God, that He is bringing you and I through our weakness by His grace into the end goal, amen, that we will stand in the strength of our Savior. Amen. We'll be matured. We'll be completed. We'll be accomplished. Amen. We will reach the intended goal that our Father has for us. Amen. But that will not come without feeling and facing our weakness, the grace that supplies our strength. Notice with me number 2, and we made it this far on Sunday or on Wednesday night, and we see the glory that sustains our strength. Not only the grace that supplies it, but there is a glory that sustains our strength. Amen. You see this matter of weakness and strength, weakness and strength. The Lord doesn't just want to give us strength for the day. amen, that strength is to sustain us throughout our journey day by day. And Paul is teaching this here. He's learned it by experience and is now expounding it by the Holy Ghost. Amen. You say, preacher, what do you mean the glory that sustains our strength? Amen. I think this text shows that Paul had no self-glory. There's no self-glory. This is not about him. In fact, he gets very specific about this in that he magnifies that. Amen. There are things that he could be magnifying in his life that he has chosen not to and not glory in that, lest people would look at his life or hear something he was saying and would think that Paul was somehow greater than he was. Amen. That what they would see in him would be, amen, a strength that was not Paul's, but they would attribute it to Paul. And so he says, I'm not going to glory in this great spiritual experience and revelation. I'm not going to get caught up in what I got caught up in. And I'm not going to glory in that. In fact, amen, Paul said, the things I seen and the things I heard, amen, it wouldn't even be lawful for a man to utter those things. Amen, God did that for me. God showed that to me. God let me hear that. And God let me see that, and it do me no good to glory in that. Amen. To try to find some self-glory that others would think I'm stronger or more spiritual than I really am. And so I think the point is simply this. Amen. There is a glory that sustains our strength, but it is no self-glory. Amen. We don't do what we do for accolades and pats on the back. We don't, my friend, carry through in the Christian life and the experiences we have and the spirituality we want others to think we have. Amen. In some sort of self-glorying way, for then we find, amen, that we go from weakness to strength to weakness to strength to weakness to strength. And that strength is never sustained in our life until, my friend, all of this is for the glory of what Paul said is for Christ's sake. Amen. He said, therefore, I take pleasure, verse 10, in infirmities, reproaches, necessities, persecution, distresses, what? For Christ's sake. And so Paul is finding his glory in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. When our glory is in Christ, our strength is sustained. Amen. You say, what do you mean, preacher? I'm saying, so long as you make it about you, you're going to stay weak. You're going to feel weak. You're never going to have any victory. Amen. But when, amen, the battle rages and the Father's plan is leading you down a winding road that makes you sense and feel your own weakness. Amen. If you'll make it about the glory of Christ, there is a strength that will sustain you without losing our mind, without, amen, falling out of the faith. And my friend, there is a sustaining strength, amen, when this is about Christ's glory. And so in the text, I see that there are two things that we've got to get tapped into about this matter of Christ's glory. Amen. I see that Paul was tapped into the pleasure of Christ's glory. Amen. Paul, are you weak? Paul, do you know pain? Paul would say, I know all about distress and betrayal and getting in situations you can't get out of. Amen. But notice what Paul said in verse number 10. He said, therefore, I take pleasure in, and he lists these things. Amen. Not that he's glorying and saying, hallelujah, I get to hurt today. No, friend, what he is saying is, I find my pleasure that though I'm hurting, and Christ is being glorified in my weakness. Amen. And so pleasure means to think well of. I think well of my Savior that no matter, amen, if things are not well around me, I think well of my Savior. Amen, that's going to guard him from bitterness. That's going to guard it, amen, from grudges. That's going to guard him from insecurities. That's going to guard him from the sense of hopelessness when he finds his pleasure is in the fact that Christ is being glorified in what I'm going through. Amen. We said on Wednesday night, what you're going through ain't about you. What you're going through ain't about, amen, you're hurting, and it ain't about, amen, it ain't about what others have done or not done to you. It is about the glory of Christ. When we are tapped into, amen, acknowledging the pleasure of Christ's glory, when I am simply pleased that Christ is being glorified in me, no matter what it is, He sustains me with His strength. Amen. All right. Amen. That's pretty good preaching. He says, and this is how you know. This is how you know when, amen, you're about the Savior's glory and not about self-glory. He said in verse number 9, amen, in light of this giving of strength, most gladly, therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities. He is dealing with the glory of Christ. And he said, just knowing that Christ has been glorified, amen, in me, yes, it hurts. Yes, there's pain. He said, but I'm not just going to be a little happy. He said, I most gladly. Amen. Most gladly, Brother Larry, means, amen, I could not possibly have any more gladness in my life than that I know that Christ is being glorified. Amen. If I could illustrate most gladly, amen, I'd use it in the way sometimes we would talk with our spouse or maybe even our children. I love you. And what do they say? I love you more. You say, no, you don't. I love you more. And if you want to trump them, you just simply say, I love you most. Amen. In other words, I could not possibly love you any more than I do. I love you the most. And what Paul is saying is, when my pleasure, amen, is found in Christ's glory, then even in my infirmities, amen, I will most gladly, therefore, I will find my pleasure. I could not have more joy than I have, even if the thorn was taken away, even if the weakness was not felt. I could not possibly be more glad than I am just simply to know that Christ is being glorified in me. But that ain't how we act, is it? And that's why we stay down in the dumps. Amen. That's why we're miserable and everybody around us is miserable. Because we're not about Christ's glory. We like to think we are. Amen. But it's seen in how glad you are in what you're going through. And Christ is just simply saying, no, I won't take it away, but my grace is sufficient for thee and my strength is made perfect in weakness. Amen. Amen. The glory that sustains our strength, finding your pleasure, finding your joy. Amen. Relishing greatly in the fact that your Savior thinks enough of you to let you face your weakness and to feel hurt and go through pain so that He might be glorified in us. The pleasure of Christ's glory. In verse number 9, notice quickly the power of Christ's glory. He's tapped into the power. What do you mean, preaching the glory that sustains our strength? Notice what Paul said, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities. Why, Paul? That the power of Christ may rest upon me. This is big here this morning. Paul, amen, is saying that in our weakness, if we will not allow our conditions and allow our situations to become about self-glory, and we live our life no matter how good or how bad it is for the Savior's glory, He'll sustain His strength in us. Amen. And Paul said, with that, Amen. There is not the power of me, not the power, amen, of my own Christianity, but the power of my Savior can rest upon me. And can I say in this hour and this day, amen, we need a revival of the power of Christ to rest upon us. The word power indicates, and you study this out, and man, it gets big. It gets real big, bigger than I can preach this morning. Amen, but this word power, one of the things I found about this word power, if you'll do a word study on it, it indicates a miracle itself. That there is a miracle. Paul said, I am weak and in myself I cannot go on. I cannot sustain. I cannot bear up under the load. Amen, because I am so weak. But when I make it about my Savior and not myself, His power rests on me. And it is a miracle that we are able to make it day by day. Now here's what I want to remind all of us today. Amen. You're not here because of your might. You've not made it this far because you're some great Christian. The fact of the matter is you're weak just like the rest of us. So preacher, how have you made it 25 years of being saved and with your weakness and as great as your weakness is, how is it that you make it from day to day? It ain't me. Amen. There have been days, buddy, I'd already thrown in the towel. Amen. I just didn't have enough time to tell everybody about it. Somewhere in all of that, amen, the Holy Ghost lets us get our heads right and get our hearts tuned in the right way. And we began to make it about Christ. And we understand it's not about us. And it's not about others around us. It's all for Christ's glory. Paul said in that, there is the power of Christ that will rest on your life. And it is a miracle every day that we keep serving God. Amen. And not because of our strengths, but in spite of our weakness. Does that make sense? It's a miracle you're still here. I know some of the things you face every day of your life. It's a miracle she would walk in there. It's a miracle, Brother A.L., after all these years and all the disappointments and after all the battles that you face, amen, that you're here today and still serving the Lord. Amen. Listen, it's a miracle any of us are here today. This crowd running around, amen, amen, healing conventions and the charismatic outfits trying to claim some miracle. Do you understand it is a miracle? Amen. Every day that you get up and you serve God in spite of your weakness, in spite of what you're going through. Amen. Paul said, if I'm making about Him, He sustains my strength. I may be weak, but the power of Christ rests upon me. A miracle itself. A miracle itself, the power of Christ. Amen. Is this not exemplified? Amen. Is this not exemplified in the miracles that Christ performed in His earthly ministry? Amen. How many were weak in body? Amen. But it was the power and the virtue of Christ. Amen. It brought them from their weakness into a state of strength. Amen. The woman with the issue of blood had tried all she knew to try. And the Bible said, but Jake, she was none the better. Amen. But rather grew worse. Amen. Year by year, she tried to find strength in herself. Amen. She probably like some in our generation. Amen. She tried every essential oil. Amen. She ran to every herb shop she could find. Amen. She went down to the doctors and the physicians. Amen. She tried all she could do to find strength everywhere. She just got weaker and weaker and weaker. Till she got to Jesus one day. Touched the very hem of His garment. And you remember what Christ said in that great throng and crowd of people. and is pressing in upon him. He stops in his tracks. And Brother Larry, he said, "Who touched me?" The disciples said, "Lord, what in the world are you talking about? There are hundreds and thousands of people touching you." He said, "Oh no." He said, "Oh no. Somebody touched me. Somebody touched me in a different kind of a way." Here's what Jesus said. He said, "Virtue has gone out of me." The word virtue is the same word for power. You see, she quit making it about physicians. She quit making it about essential oils. And she quit making it about, amen, her friends in the latest news. And my friend Shay, amen, quit watching Dr. Oz to try to settle her situation. And it became all in that day about Christ. And that day when it became about Christ, amen, there was a power that came out of Christ into her. And in her weakness, she was made strong. Amen. There in all that crowd, amen, she stepped up and she said, "It was me, Lord. Amen, it was me, Lord. I'm the one that came to you weak. I'm the one that crawled through the crowd. I'm the one that got on my hands and my knees at your feet. I'm the one that knew if I could just get under the hem of your garment, and that this weakness could be taken out of me. And Lord, that your power has given me strength." Amen. How many days do we stay in weakness and despair and despondency and defeated and miserable? You can say what you want. It's evidence. It's evidence we are not living for the glory of Christ. There's a power. Where's the power that rests on you? Amen. Amen. You say, "Preacher, is that a miracle?" It is a miracle of miracles. Me in number three, and I'll be done. This won't take quite so long. We see the grace that supplies our strength. We see the glory that sustains our strength. But notice with me the goal that satisfies our strength. It's interesting. I don't have time to run through the remainder of chapter number 12. If I can give it to you in a nutshell, Paul says about this matter of his weakness and strength. He says, basically, "I'm not going to try to convince you how strong I am." Paul addresses him and he says, "I'm going to be weak and I'm going to be a fool before your very eyes. I know what Christ has done for me and I ain't got to explain it." Amen. I ain't got to brag upon it. He just simply says, "I'll gladly be a fool and I'll gladly be weak so that I can minister to you where you are." Paul takes them back to when he came to them and he said, "I was weak when I came to you." He says, "I understand that there are those that they poke at me and they prod at me and they say how weak that I am." Paul said, "Fine. I'll be weak." Amen. Why? What is the goal that satisfies our strength? Paul was willing to be weak so that in Christ he could be strong, that he might be able to help others who are weak. Let me say that again. Sister Debbie's writing it down. Paul was willing to be weak, amen, that Christ could make him strong so that Paul in turn could help others who are weak. Where do you see that? Look with me in chapter 13, the verse we read, verse number 4, and I'm winding down. "For though he was crucified through weakness..." We look at Christ and it looks like in the hour of his crucifixion that there is weakness that he is unable to overcome. But Paul said that's how we view it. But yet in that time of weakness that we would perceive, yet he liveth by what? The power of God. What looks like Christ, listen, Christ was not weak in that hour. We understand, amen, that was one of the greatest displays and disciplines of strength that the world could have ever witnessed. But to us, it looks like he died in weakness. Paul said, even though that's our perception, you have to understand he lived by the power of God. He didn't stay there. He didn't stay there. He didn't dwell, amen, there. He didn't remain on the cross. Amen. He was taken down and he was buried. And on the third day, he rose by the power of God. He liveth. Amen. And so Paul said, in practical application, for we also are weak in him. But we shall live with him by the power of God. Paul said, fine, I'll be weak. Perceive me as weak. I know that there is a power that goes beyond anything that I can muster up. And my Savior set the pattern. It looks like he died in weakness, but he lived by the power of God. And he's saying, I am thy weakness if help, and the grace of my Savior is sufficient for me, and that his strength is made perfect in weakness, and that as I glory in him and the grace comes down upon my life, I can live by the power of God. Now here's the goal, Paul said, toward you. Paul said, my weakness ain't about me. My strength in that weakness, Christ's strength upon me in that weakness, it ain't about me so that I can run around and talk about how strong I am. Paul said, the power that rests on me, that gives me and sustains my strength, it is toward you. Amen. We better get a hold of this in this self-centered generation. This generation of me, 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 me. Amen. We make it about me when it comes to our weakness, and we make it about me when it comes to our strength. Paul said, it ain't about me, it's toward you. If the Lord in his grace will sustain me with his strength, I'll gladly be weak in Christ, live by the power of God, so that it has an effect in your life. I want to say today, our weakness and strength is not about us. Whatever Christ would do to sustain us and provide a miracle to keep us going day by day ought to be used to try to help somebody else in their weakness. Let me give you a couple of verses here this morning. Look in Romans 15. I believe it's Romans 15, verse number 1. You still with me? Say amen. I don't have my phone. I don't know what time it is, but I am about done. Romans 15 and in verse number 1. Amen. Jesse's about to find it. Amen. Jesse, read that for us. 15, verse 1.
We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak.
We then that are strong. Preacher, I'm not strong. I'm weak. You done said my fallen nature, my father's plan, my foe's attack, my frustration. Yeah, but when you're weak, then you're made strong. Whenever you feel the strength of your Savior upon you, read it again now, Jesse. Read it again now.
We then that are strong.
We then that are strong. Then what's that next word?
Ought not to bear the infirmities.
Ought. Ought. In other words, Brother Mo, if Christ would bless us with strength in our weakness, I owe it to those that are weak around me to help bear their infirmities. That word bear is an interesting word. It has the idea, and I don't want to get on Tim's Sunday school lest he give us a little thing about bearing grudges and all that, but that word bear in that text means to lift and carry away. ought to be doing all I can to lift Gerald's burden when I'm able, when I'm strong, when Christ has strengthened me. And if he's in a time of weakness, I ought to be doing all I can to help bear his infirmities.
Amen.
Ain't it amazing when we're weak, we want others to bear ours, but then when Christ lets us be strong, we're unwilling to invest in anybody else. Amen. That word bear, one of the ideas of it, Brother A.L., means to come alongside of, to walk with. Amen. To bear one's infirmities. To support the weak, to support those that are going through something. I mentioned this other night, and I want to say it's happened so many times in my life. There's times where I've absolutely felt my weakness. Things I've gone through, Brother Larry, that I knew I was not able to bear. I was not able in myself, of myself, to get through. And in that weakness, somehow, the Savior strengthened me and I come through it and He brings me through in miraculous ways. And I may be looking back going, I don't even understand why I went through that. Until down the road you meet somebody, Jeremy, that comes to you and says, hey, I'm really struggling right now with something in my life. Or you hear about something somebody else is going through and you go, wait a minute. I remember when I was back there. You know what we're to do in those times? We are to bear those and support those that are weak in that time. You may feel weak today. You may be going through something that has you feeling your weakness. But if you will rely on the grace of God and make it all about the Savior, there will come a day in your life where you will be able to bear somebody else's weakness. Let me give you another verse. I believe this one is 1 Thessalonians 5. 1 Thessalonians 5. Let me give you one more verse here. Verse number 14. 1 Thessalonians 5:14. Amen. Y'all like Jesse reading to us? It's pretty good, ain't it? Read that for us.
14. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support them with the weak, be patient toward them, toward all men.
Support the weak. Support the weak. That word support means prop up, lean into. Amen. You know what Paul is saying, and in 1 Thessalonians 5, he's going to give a lot of one-line exhortations. Do this, do this, do this. But to him, it's like he's shooting a shotgun of a bunch of different things out that are important that he wants us to be involved in. And of that, he said, and there's three of them right there. There's two centered around support the weak. Support the weak. What did he say? Comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, and be patient toward all men. Amen. And I say supporting the weak is a very important ministry of a local church. That's what he's dealing with, local church instructions. Support the weak. What do we do? What do we do as a body of believers? We're just a bunch of weak people. We're a bunch of folk with weaknesses all over that by the power of Christ are made strong by the grace of Christ. Experience strength through trials and tribulations and distresses. And God uses that, amen, with the goal in mind that satisfies our strength, that satisfies me to be able to support the weak that are around me. Amen. Say why? Because I've been through enough to know there are times I need others to support me. Is that right? I know this is simple. I know we've gone way down. We're crashing and burning maybe. But Brother Mark, I'm telling you, we better get a hold of it. The supporting of the weak. The supporting of the weak. Amen. And if you're going to do that, I don't think it's any coincidence that the line right after that is be patient toward all men. You know why we don't support the weak? Because we got no patience with anybody. Amen. We got no patience with anybody. Well, I tried to help them. Well, what about the last big thing you went through that carried on months and months and weeks and weeks and days and days? Amen. Sometimes that supporting the weak requires a steadfast patience. I'm here. I'm here. You ever try to support somebody and they didn't want it? Amen. What do you do? Well, in our flesh we go, well, find them. Right? Find them. But that ain't being much of a Christian. And I'm not talking about hounding people and dogging people. I'm not talking about that. That ain't much support. But just every now and then say, hey, I just want you to know I'm still praying for you. Every now and then, send a little message saying, hey, just want you to know you're on somebody's mind today. Keep on pressing on. Amen. We got a call from a dear preacher. He's a hero of mine, much older than I am, several weeks back. And he said, preacher, he said, I hate to call you about this. He said, it's pretty heavy situation. He said, I feel like the Lord wanted me to call you. He began to unfold the situation, something he was dealing with. And I just wept and cried while he was talking, Brother Tim. In a split moment of time, as he was describing, in my mind, in my heart, it took me back, Brother Jack, to one of the weakest times in my life. Brother Larry, I felt it. I felt it while he was talking. I felt the weakness all over again. And that preacher on the other end of the phone said, I really, really hate to even bother you with this. And in that moment in time, the Holy Ghost said, you've been wondering why? He said, now you're going to be able to help this preacher to help that family. And I'm going to tell you something. We that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. We're in this thing together. We're in this thing together. The matter of support the weak. Amen. If this building didn't have much support to it, it'd be a dangerous, dangerous place to come into. You let a little bit of wind come by. And I maybe this is out of bad timing to use this illustration with all that went on around this other side of the state, but just bear with it. It'd be a dangerous place to come sit in if it wasn't supported right. You let a wind come by, be a lot of destruction if this thing wasn't supported in the right kind of way. Amen. And there's a lot of folk wind up destroyed because in their weakness. There are others that have been where they are or have had weaknesses and have found strength in the Lord Jesus that aren't supplying a support to others. I'm telling you, that ought to be the goal of our Christian life. Lord, if I got a hurt for your glory and to help somebody else, I will most gladly therefore rejoice. I will gladly find my pleasure in whatever you bring into my life so that I can be of help to somebody else down the way. Amen. What we preaching on, preacher? Weakness and strength. Weakness and strength. Amen. Let's stand together and we'll pray. All right? Heavenly Father, thank you today for your mercy and your grace. Thank you for sustaining us. Thank you for the miracles that you provide from day to day. Lord, from trial to trial, thank you, Lord, that in our weakest times, we have been propped up not only by the power of our Savior, but Lord, precious friends and saints of God, men of God with a message, Lord, to encourage us. Saints of God, Lord, go in the prayer closet on our behalf. Lord, others that have come by our side and, Lord, walked through some dark, dark times and days with us. Lord, were patient with us. It comforted our feeble minds. Lord did supply a strength, Lord, that we didn't have, where, Lord, we could lean in upon them. Lord, we bless you today and we testify, Lord, of the miracle that it is that we're even here today. Thank you for what you've done. Thank you for what you've yet to do. I pray, Lord, in the days to come, the things that we've been through, the things we've yet to go through, Lord, use our lives, Lord, to be a help to others along the way. Lord, what you do, we'll thank you again and give you glory for it all, over all the way to eternity. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen and amen.